Good morning, everyone. My name is Eric Rosenberg from Swantage in Brussels. I've been asked to share with you the results of Future Watch. Actually, the first session with the results was given last week by Bill Vogley, who's responsible for the research and people from Amex at MPI Meet Different in Cancun. So that's the result I'm going to share with you. Now, talking with Bill, we thought there's two ways of doing it. The way that I've been studying myself, which is why probably I didn't attend much class, is that you're supposed to sit and listen to the slides and the figures for about an hour, which is A, quite boring, B, totally useless, because you do have the report in your hand and you don't need me to read this report. Then there's a second way, which I would like to suggest that we're going to use this morning, which is basically giving you, first of all, 3 to 5 minutes to put on a sheet of paper for yourself, and especially for those who have not read yet, but what are the trends you think are going to impact us in the next 12 months? Then we're going to share with your neighbors for another 2-3 minutes. And then we will move to the main result, and I won't spend too much time on the figures, but main on the conclusion. And we will still keep 10 minutes at the end to exchange ideas and, concretely speaking, where do you think you're going to be impacted and what are the changes that you think you should be considering for your organization, whether you're an association, a corporation, a government, in the next 12 months. So that hopefully, by going out of this room, you would have at least one concrete idea to implement as in your organization. Are you fine with that?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm giving you 3 minutes just to write for yourself. Just put down at least 3 trends you think are going to be affecting us in our industry. Okay. Now, what I would suggest is that the 2 of you, the 3 of you, the 4 of you, the 2 of you, and the 4 of you, just share for 5 minutes, come up with what you think are the 3 main trends that are going to affect our industry. And obviously don't go in a big debate right now, but have a short discussion about why you think this trend will impact you. All set? Yes? So, if I can ask one representative of each group after the other to just put the 3 trends, obviously if you're the last one and everything has been said. Well, it's easy for you. You can say everything has been said. So I need a volunteer, please.
We don't have 3 trends. We have 7, I think. Because you have 4 people and I have 4 people.
Don't start negotiating. It's 2 spaces. Just get there. 3. Pick the 3. And please let us know why. I have to mic you, because I think they're recording.
Oh. Okay.
Hello? It's probably one of those. Hello, 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 yes, here.
Thank you. What a small audience, a small room and then a mic, that's really...
For the recording.
Well, the first vote was for sustainability. We think that will be a growing impact on our meetings and the trends for the future.
And we will see in the slides afterwards, indeed, CSR. It's obviously, it's more than sustainability, but it's really impacting. It's one of the trends, and we'll have some slides, including specifically for EMEA.
I've learned that we should not only say CSR, we should say SR, because it's not just corporates that do social responsibility. And that's the thing to think about these days. We also think that time, both in the aspect as shorter lead time, but also time effectiveness at the meetings, they will be more compact, more effective, so that people are not traveling for such a long time and away from the office such a long time.
So that's
the two things of times, yeah.
Okay. And how would this impact you?
Well, the shorter lead time, of course, and for...
Yeah, but let's take the shorter lead time. How is it impacting the way you work, the way you structure?
Well, it depends on what role you have in the chain. Mm-hmm. For me, it's good. With being with an airline, it's nice when they have shorter lead times because that's where the prices are high. So I like it. I don't think Lena likes it. She's the venue, the Bella Center. So
I could comment on that because we also had flexibility. So I think the really to be able to adapt to the situation, so you need to be there in all kind of ways when your client needs you.
Are you planning or have you changed lately your structure to be able to address shorter lead time, or with the same people, the same process, everything?
I would say that we have adapted to that situation.
In which sense? If it's not confidential? Then
it's not confidential. Okay. It's Bella Center Copenhagen. So I think that's we are very much aware of the situation, that we really need to have an organization ready for the clients all the time.
Okay. So if I may, just concretely speaking, in your own organization, what did you change to address shorter lead time?
We have manned up, so we are more people in the organization because we experience that the clients request more from us, so we need to be able to provide that.
Okay, thank you.
I was making a joke about the airline, but you could actually say that we've changed it as launching new products where you can have an airline agreement with just 1 month lead time that used to be very longer lead time and so on. So we've actually adapted our product as well and also lowered the minimum number of participants that you have to have in order to get such agreements.
Okay. So thank you.
And the last one we got, we have more, but I can put on technology. Technology, I think, was another one that we thought was very important with the younger generation coming in that are all used to, and not just the younger ones. We also use the technology, don't we? So there will be more demand on integrating technology in new ways into the meetings.
Okay. So if you can write technology in the same time, thank you. Who's next? Thanks, Kip.
I think one of the big ones that we're going to face is mergers and sort of acquisitions. One of my favorite words I invented was globality, and I think more and more companies are going to have to play in a global field. Their customers are acting more global, and so they have to provide their services, whatever it may be, on a larger scale. So I think it's a global growth. And the fastest way to do that probably these days is mergers and acquisitions, whether it's hotels saying we're going to grow somewhere. Is it faster to go ahead and buy a smaller chain, or is it easier to sit there and build from the ground up? Obviously, it's the same way with companies and suppliers and such. So we're going to see a lot more of that. I think we came up with political stability. It's early. Stability, depending on where you are in the world, is going to be an issue too. That certainly, whether it's the Middle East or anywhere, we find these days, sometimes CNN is our worst customer out there. There's a problem in Jordan, and all of a sudden people say, I can't go to Dubai or Brussels because that's right near Jordan. and so...
You're obviously probably watching CNN, right?
You know, yeah. No, honestly, when I lived in Atlanta, I wish I'd pulled the plug out of CNN. But that's a big issue. People, unfortunately, education-wise, you know, one little thing in Mumbai happens, and it's a terrible thing, and all of a sudden that whole area is just a no-go area for 2 years, and it's just not how it works. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, unfortunately, there is so much of it that sometimes people are becoming maybe a little dulled to it, and they say it could happen anywhere, so maybe that's growing a little bit too, that we're getting horribly complacent about it or whatever. And the last one, I think, is outsourcing. And this maybe refers a bit to the time issue, where we're asked to grow, where we're asked to do stuff that we don't have the capacity in our own company to react as quickly as we can, but there's somebody who does a niche bit of work that we can go and grab them quickly and say, well, look, can you take over this part of my business, because I just can't possibly go out and hire 6 people to do that in the next week, whatever it is, or in the next 6 months. And it sometimes might be fiscally better, but that's it.
Thank you. And if I can maybe build on what you just said, another way of basically tackling the global growth is also by partnership, which is linked with outsourcing, and can quickly, and that's a very good example with MPI, several examples, that people, you can quickly have a network of suppliers all over the world just because of the people you know and the needs that you have. Thank you. I know. We're about one. There's about 1,000 people in the room. That's why we're recording.
It kind of links a little bit, I suppose, to the CSR or SR theme. But the idea of the perception of the meetings that we're having is very much still under scrutiny, and how you know, everybody's a bit more mindful of that. So cutting out the more kind of grand and those kind of things, and looking at maybe something a little bit more basic, almost kind of going back to basics. We were talking about it yesterday in a session, saying less of the money and the kind of focus on that element of a conference, and more just about the interaction with the people rather than the huge, you know, social programs or something. It's the actual perception. Exactly, yeah, and I think that's something that's happened already, but it will continue to do so.
Well, hopefully it will stop one day, but up to last year, there were journalists and photographers in hotels, especially in North America, just waiting. They would see the name of a corporation, just take a picture, and big, big scandal. Now, to build on that, I'll give you a concrete example of how you could react. There was a meeting, I think it was with GM. Pretty sure it was GM, and they were, I think it was at Ritz-Carlton. They were having the press, GM having the money from the States, and they are meeting in the Ritz-Carlton. The next day, it was in the press, and the same day, the boss of that division came out and said to the journalist, you know what, were we in that room? Absolutely. How many people from GM were there? About five. The rest were 150 customers representing $5 billion of business. Are we going to do that? Absolutely. Our competitors are doing it, and we mean business. And that was it. So I guess one of the things as well, and that could be impacting you in your organization, is to be able to react if that type of thing is coming up. Now, to your point of back to basics, there are two things. Back to basics because of perception, and that's probably one of the ways to be ready too. But back to basics because people want to go back to basics, want to come to, because of the values, is obviously another story. Anything else?
Looking at technology-based conferencing, and there's a lot of like webinars and things going on. So
virtual.
That's something that, you know, I think a lot of companies are looking at doing now, because it saves money, saves time, lot less people traveling and things if you can educate staff online. So, but yeah, kind of similar to what was up there, really.
Thank you. Cisco just moved their entire global conference last year to virtual. And obviously now in the future there will be the balance between what should be virtual, and people tend to say that virtual is excellent to deliver data. But when you are virtual, you're multitasking. You don't know if Kip is giving a seminar. He doesn't know if behind my computer I'm listening to him or if I'm doing my emails. People also are talking for negotiation. It's obviously better when you see that person. So really a mix in between the two. And I'm not paid to say this. But today is Tuesday. Tomorrow at, I believe, 4 o'clock GMT, IMEX is doing a webinar which is facilitated by David Kleiman, for those who know David. And he will be interviewing Mrs. Smith, which is the lady from Cisco who actually ran the whole project last year. So that's also something you can go afterwards to get the information, to listen to the webinar and see why they did that and what they expect to do in the future. Thank you. I love the way they're all looking at each other. Give me a number between 1 and 7.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ether.
Okay, well, we found a synergy that we are working with in healthcare, all of us.
So our discussion really got quite specific, and we talked about some of the challenges within our industry in business ethics, because business ethics is really a top issue right now. It's getting the rules and regulations are getting tighter, and what we're able to do and not do with our HCPs, healthcare providers, is getting more and more strict. So our conduct and the focus on our conduct in the future is really, really high. So we have to figure out how to cope with that with our logistics and our planning and how we need to accommodate that.
Okay.
And there are other trends as well within, basically making more of your programs. Making more of your programs, infiltrating more value into the programs and probably investing more money but having actually fewer meetings. Investing probably less money in your Congress. I'm thinking right now in Danish, it's not helping very much, sorry. It's early morning. Your exhibit. That you'd invest less money probably in the infrastructure of your exhibit, but actually more in, the services that you're providing as a company and what you're, the content, exactly. Yeah, thanks.
So less in infrastructure and more in content.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, the trend is also being, fewer face-to-face meetings we talked about as well.
Thank you. And the last group?
We don't have much new things, but I think one of them is value, more for less. Due to the crisis, prices have really dropped. I think companies are going to have a really hard time getting those prices back up as what they used to be.
Thank you.
And there's also the, we thought about the exchange rate.
The exchange rate, okay.
It plays a little. I mean, it all depends where you have your hotels in the world. But I look at mine. I have a hotel in Morocco, one in Dubai, one in Cape Town, and one in America. So we trade a lot in dollars. So you have economies where it's very stable, and other clients, going back to the... I understand why there's a lot of last-minute leads, mm-hmm. inquiries, because it's easier to budget. So suddenly, an event could enhance 30% better just because the exchange rate is low or the currency is higher elsewhere.
When you speak about the exchange rate, are you talking about financial instability, or you're booking something for 2012 and suddenly the price can be 10% higher?
No, I'm talking about in 3 months, 2 months, 6 months, guaranteeing contracts at a stable rate,
okay,
which is very hard.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about the euro dollar situation because it's a bit more complicated. Because who can actually guarantee or who actually played the game correctly, except for the multinational hotel companies? The others, it's a bit difficult because financially, the way a company is structured is you can't really play around that well to follow currency exchange. But that's one of the aspects. I mean, when I speak to some of the clients, when they're considering destinations.
What are you doing? You are.
I'm director of group sales for Europe, but.
But an hotel, a corporation,
no. Yeah, for hotels,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we do see a difference because I've got small hotels, like 100 bedrooms, which are very luxurious, and I have larger hotels like the Atlantis in Dubai, which has 1,500 bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a variety. And
okay.
You need to be conscious about that.
Thank you. Just on that point, and for those who are working, you want to say something?
Well, no, I'm asking for some planners in the room. If a customer booked in October from the U.S. or wherever at 150 cents to the to the euro, and now it's 135, so they've got 15 cents on every dollar. Do you see them saving that money, or do they turn around and call you up and say, now for our June meeting, we can actually have the gala dinner, or we can actually have meat at the dinner instead of just
Pastor.
I can tell you what, as planner, what the choice we made several years ago, we're not in the business of foreign exchange. We're not. So if it's like short lead time, it's next month, the risk is quite smaller. If it's, let's say, we're booking something for 2012, then basically what we're looking with the client is to cover the exchange rate by buying option, a call on the dollar, let's say, so that we know today, you could say that, you know, when you have to pay what, which amount, you can cover that with your bank, saying that in 1st of January 2011, I will have to pay that amount, 3 months later that amount, and you negotiate the rate right now. So at that time, let's say next year, suddenly you end up of winning technically a lot, then what you say, what you do is you don't use that insurance if you want, and you buy at the market. And if suddenly you realize that the exchange rate is absolutely not good for you, but you have this insurance and you just use it. So it's not that you're going to do a gala dinner instead. It's more you have the budget and you stay in the budget despite the exchange rate. I don't know if this is answering your question. Okay, good. Yes, last point and then we go.
I just want to say with the exchange rate that currently it's actually a competitive advantage for Sweden where the currency has gone very low, meaning that it's a disadvantage for the other Scandinavian countries. We've been losing business to Sweden because the product is cheaper because of the currency exchange. So.
And one day they will not, and yeah.
On the short lead time, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Good. So. Now what we're going to do, going quickly into the results of Future Watch, you have the results here. So in the purpose of this session, and to make sure that you're having concrete ideas, and I hope you already have one or two to go back home with, I'm just going to go and flip through the slides in the next, let's say, 20 minutes, so that you can compare with all the trends we've seen: sustainability, shorter lean time, technology, global growth, political stability, outsourcing, business ethics, more value in the program, less investment in infrastructure, more in the content, more for less, and the exchange rate. And you're going to see what basically 1,800 of our colleagues and probably also some of us here have answered for the survey. Okay? So, the speakers that basically present at Meet Different, and why do I put the slide here is because I want to recognize them. So Bill from Association Insight, together with American Express, they're doing the survey. And Mitchell Beer, and probably some of you know him, Mitchell from the conference publishers, basically put all the content in the form of the written paper and the presentation, and that's what they're doing. It is linked with the Business Barometer. How many people know the Business Barometer? Okay. If you go on the website, mpiweb.org, you will find not only Future Watch from this year, but also from the previous year, but you will find every 2 months a Business Barometer. And I'm just going to touch on some slides about the Business Barometer, which is giving you an idea of how people see the economy. Is it recovering? Is it going down? Is it flat? And basically give you some insight on more short-term, but more to the market situation. So we've just done that, and we're going now to presentation of the findings. The responses on which Future Watch results are based is that number of MPI members. It is a survey which is done internally, so only MPI members are responding, and obviously if you're contacted next year, please do take the time to fill in the questionnaire, because that's the value of the surveys. The more people answer that, the better the results, of course. There are 967 meeting and event planners and 813 suppliers. It is basically covering all the chapters and the countries that are members of MPI. First thing is the initial signs of cautious optimism. About 2010, you will see that for the people that are quite optimistic for the second semester of 2010, but also very realistic about the new realities. And I think someone mentioned earlier on, we're not going to go back at what it was before. Now, how is it going to happen? That's also part of the discussion. The industry growth, again, mainly the last semester of 2010, then into 2011. And here, you can listen to different economists. There are people saying, yeah, it's going to keep up at the end of 2010. Some people are saying, well, maybe not before the end of 2011. Obviously, the results that we are all seeing for the last weeks and the last months allow us to be optimistic. Now, what is going to be in 6 months down the road is a very interesting question. Must do more with less. We definitely mentioned that earlier on. So you see, it's no big news for you, but that's what it is. And then there's the issue of understaffing. Very happy to hear that in Copenhagen you can hire more people. but in most part of the world is that you do more with less people. Which is, I was talking with some people that have the larger organization. They all told me, you know, everybody get together. We went through last year with a lot of work. Everybody was focused and knowing that there's a crisis that we have to go through. But now everybody's tired. So what are you going to do to keep on having the people working? What are you going to do to having the people motivated? And how are you going to do with basically having, in general, less people to do at least the same type of work, if not more? So greater workloads on individual. And obviously, there's going to be a customer service and a facility concern. And as a planner, and again, this is not from the survey, but that's a personal point of view here, I'm also very concerned, you know, we're dealing with so many hotels. There's so many hotels opening in the world. How are you going to have the staff for those hotels, and how are you going to basically maintain the level of service? So education and training are going to be very important, and I believe also that it's not something that it's clear now because we're still, you know, coming out of the crisis and after the surviving part, the thriving part, but basically the war for talents in our industry, I think that's something that we're going to see very clearly in the future. So this is taken from the business barometer that I was talking about earlier on. And you see the negative. If you go back to February 2009, you would see that 79% of the people interview will see in the current business condition a negative answer. And if you move down to the last part of the slide, you will see that for the first time in February 2010, which is this month, well, last month, sorry, for the first time, it went really to the majority of the people who would think that it would be favorable or flat. Now, again, this has been the trend for the last year. That would be interesting as well to see. But that's the good thing is that with this business barometer, we don't have to wait for a year to have results of survey. That's every 2 months. Yes? Sorry?
72% of the survey.
Yes.
Requires up in the United States.
Yes.
Is there innovator anywhere where it's not delivered?
It's a very good question. I don't have the answer. That would be something to be asked. Generally,
that's important to see the difference between the European requirements and the U.S.
There probably is. What I've, in my experience, been the last years, every time that you have results from North America, it comes to Europe in the next 3 to 6 months, and when it's going down. When it's going up, it takes another 3 to 6 months more in the EMEA region to keep up with North America.
Part of that growth, though, too, at 43% up, you're going from horrible to less horrible.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the story between the optimist and the pessimist. You know, the parents, they have two twins. One of them is very optimistic, and one of them is very pessimistic. And one day they decide to prepare a room with beautiful presents and beautiful wrapping and everything. And they put the pessimist child in that room. And then in the other room, which is full of horse shit, they put the kid who's always very optimistic. So after 15 minutes, they open the door and they see the pessimist child with all those beautiful presents crying. He said, "What's wrong?" I say, "Dad, ma'am, I mean, this is so wonderful. I'm so scared to unwrap the present. I'm going to destroy this. I cannot do anything." And they open the other door and they see the optimist child. Say, "Yeehaw! Yeehaw!" He's playing. Say, "What are you doing? There's so many horse shit. There's probably a horse somewhere." So, so to your point, Kip, that's how you look at it. But basically, to link both, this is the business barometer, and to your point, Kip, yes, it's from horrible to okay. But we link into Future Watch, where people are saying a cautious optimism. So it's kind of related. And you will see again, that's the projected business condition, so not the current. And obviously, people, we're not looking at, if they're looking at 3 months down the road or 6 months down the road, it's definitely not 3 years down the road. So it seems to have, again, cautious optimism. And if you see the trend, which is obviously more favorable. And I think, was it September or August last? Yeah, in August that we, for the first time, had 53% of flat and favorable. But to the point that you mentioned, Sus, about the majority of people from North America. So one of the trends, it's actually, we didn't mention that earlier today, but more meeting will be closer to home. And if you see the difference for U.S. respondent, it jumped from 61% to 80% in 2010. And if you see in the EMEA, the jump is also very clear. It seems that people will be meeting closer to their home. There is certainly a CSR aspect of it, but that's definitely not the only reason. Budget, perception, time out of the office are elements which are impacting those answers. More and larger meetings, which is kind of interesting. So it looks like people are trying to not only meet closer from home, but having more people together instead of having several meetings spread apart, which does not mean there will be more attendance in terms of the total people which will be impacted by a meeting in the year. Again, this projected change for 2009 and 2010, and you have it here by organization type. So you see here by organization, by the planner, and projected attendance. Tied to budget, that's not really significant in the results, but that's definitely something that they've seen more in the U.S. than anywhere else. And we spoke about it, but if you look at the 1 to 3 months lead time, it's definitely increasing. And it's not only impacting the way we are structured internally, it's obviously very much impacting the work of each individual, but also the service that we're providing and the budget. It's much more easier to basically make mistakes, whether you're a supplier or planner, when you're pressed to absolutely give a quote in the next 24 hours instead of in the next week. I mean, the opportunity for mistakes and impacting, obviously, the result are greater. So the business driver, if you look at the 5 points over here, one thing that we didn't mention, but it's a renewed focus on CRM and relationships. Now, that's a very interesting point, because at the same time, but people saying, you know, we need to know more our customers, we need to have more relationship with our suppliers. There's a cut in the budget, there's people that are leaving organization. And the question is, how do you maintain relationship with the people you're working with when you're having a higher turnover in the organization? And that would be a critical issue as well in the next month following. Competitive pricing, no surprise. Maintaining customer service, I think we've definitely spoke about it, so I'm not going to elaborate on it now. Demonstrating value, the same thing. And creating experiences which enhance ROI, you know, that is something which is not really significant from the business barometer. It came out in the Future Watch, but not really in the business barometer. And there we have the entire discussion. Are we measuring the ROI, or are we measuring the objective? And obviously, if we want to do complete ROI study, that takes a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of energy, and you're not going to evaluate all your meetings with that. The main one, based on Jack Phillips' methodology, that would be 5% of a meeting of a corporation that will be really measured to the ROI to the end. The rest is more about the objective. Why do we do that meeting? How does it fit in the strategy of the company, and how are we measuring the impact? Heather? Cost and complexity are definitely in the game. But again, why are you measuring ROI? Is basically to have feedback. And in the feedback, you want quick feedback, but also you want feedback that you want to use to basically plan in the future. And so there is, you have discrepancy between the time, energy, and time taken to do the complete ROI. It's basically, is it worth the investment? In some case, yes. But the majority of the meeting, not to go down the road, because we're not going to go into the methodology now. I can speak about it if you want later on, but if you want to have a complete impact study at the sixth level, including the intangibles, that takes several weeks, if not several months, to perform. And also, you want to make sure that you can measure the results like 3 months, 6 months down the road. So that doesn't fit with the shorter lead time and the pressure we have now.
Can I just ask, I don't know the documents so well, does this same, is there a comparison between last year, like 12 months before, what were the business drivers then and now?
There is, and again, all the surveys, you can find it on the website.
This is a motion, or this is an evaluation or a summary that's done every 12 months.
Correct. So, again, you see the difference, planner, supplies, just for the last, see?
There you go.
Yeah.
You didn't know that.
What?
You didn't know that.
Yes. but again, I think what it's very interesting to look at the different surveys, but that things are changing so rapidly now that, concretely speaking, to evaluate the impact on your daily work, I'm personally not even looking at what people were answering last year. It's really now even more the business barometer to see what I have to see in the next month. Yeah, it's all over the place. Yeah. But you will find that all over the place, not only specifically in one region. That's definitely affecting the entire industry. Yeah, but you know, but again, if you look at what you're saying now and the good personal relationship, for instance, look at the planners, how they're rating it, and look at the suppliers, how they're rating it. Good? Now, what do you do with a good personal relationship when you have 2 5-star property in the same city and one is offering a 30% better rate than the other? How do you balance that? How do you sell to your customer the fact that you have a good relationship with one hotel? Yeah, of course. So the CSR, and that's very interesting here as well. If you look, basically, in EMEA, this is the region which is not only the most concerned by the CSR, but it's really the region that is addressing, that is leading the way to address, the SR, I cannot change the slide now, but the corporate word is there. again, if you see the effort, planner organization, so that is the answer from the planners, does your organization address CSR? You see the result. It's very interesting. Association 48%, corporate 73%. So that's really a significant difference between the two. But again, to what level? Are you just compensating CO2 emission, or are you really having a true CSR? And that doesn't dig into the question, obviously. But again, if your organization is concerned with CSR, concretely speaking, and we can speak about it after the session, but the greenwashing, saying that you're green, where basically you're just saying it and internally that's not the case, that is the worst thing you can think for your organization and for the perception, because it always comes back. Yes?
Which is why, obviously, the greenwashing is fine for the environment, because at the end of the day, you have to do something.
Yes.
Gives
yeah. So on the supplier side, the same thing you will see, but less significant, but still the MEA region leading the way in the field. Now, if you look at the answer specifically from EMEA, and you look, for instance, at the dedicated department, you will see that association have 2.7% of them saying that they have the dedicated department, corporate 24%. And then you look at the difference between EMEA, Canada, and US that is really significant. So again, can we be proud of what we're doing here? Yes, but at the end of the day, what does difference does it make? Again, if you are in an international organization and you have offices different part of the world, one of the taken that you could take from this slide is basically how are you going to communicate the fact that what you're doing here is impacting not only the company, but how are you going to sell to the headquarters who are in Shanghai or in New York or in Brazil, that you're dedicating not only a department, but some FTEs, some investment to the organization for CSR. So that's, again, something that we can learn from that is, okay, if we part from an international organization, how do we sell internally what we're doing in CSR here in the region? Now, toward the strategic CSR, again, are you in alignment? What are the objectives? And how do you measure success? Those are the concern. There's not the answer. Those are the concern from the respondent. And that is something that we can see in the future. I think the main learning from this survey this year, and to your point, Bruno, about what's the difference between the other years, some people thought that CSR was, the buzz of the year, that it will disappear with the crisis. Definitely not. CSR is here to stay, is impacting organization, will impact our organization. Now, how are we going to measure that? How are we going to align that with the objective of the corporation? It's another story. But it's there, and it's not like a trend. It is something that is really ingrained in corporation, association, and organization. I'm just going to go and flip to the slide because of time, but again, this is all the results that you have, not only in the survey, but you can have it also in the website. What I think is also very important is the technology. We've discussed that earlier on, but that will be the balance on do you do virtual, do you do face-to-face, and what are you doing exactly with that? Now, I'm sorry that I'm giving you so much information, but again, I think there's valuable information that came out last week and which you can find already in the website, and it's called Meetings Deliver. And I mentioned Mitchell Beer from the conference publisher at the beginning. He produced that with MPI. We've basically taken different survey, Harvard Business Review subscriber, which have been interviewed, Forbes Insights. They've been interviewing executives. Different surveys that have appeared in the last 12 months and compile them into one document, which is called Meetings Deliver. And in there, you can see as well the technology aspect, which is addressed in the results.
And this is available on
absolutely, mpiweb.org. Oops, sorry. Going back. Okay, top five technology priorities. Interestingly speaking, if you look at the Facilité the RFP process, this was something in the past that was top of the list. And you see what it is here. And the second one, get better attendee feedback on the meeting experience, has always remained and will always remain, I guess, but very important, because all we're saying about the cost of the investment in the content is what is your attendees really expecting, and how could you know if you don't ask them? So, in summary, a gradual growth, cautious growth, but hopefully growth, more meetings closer to home, tighter budget, and very short lead time for sure, staffing and workload concern, and that is really a big concern. Again, not only the war for talent, but the people in the organization today, after 12 or 15 months of extremely hard work, what are we going to do to keep them and to keep us working that hard in the next 12 months? The focus on the basic business driver that we're saying earlier on, back to basic, yes, but not for perception reason, but really for the fundamentals and because of the economy. I love those. No. And the desire to be socially responsible. And I think the word desire, it's really important there, because concretely, what does that mean? How going to implement it? Measuring and proving ROI, yes, but again, it's not only ROI. It's basically on the objective and why we are investing in a meeting specifically. And evaluating new technology. There's so many things coming out, yes, but which is the one that we have to use? Where do we have to be positioned? Social media, we can speak 5 hours on that. There's so many things coming out now, but what is the right positioning? What are the right websites on which your organization has to be positioned, has to be visible? That is something that there's no clear answer today. And so in this evaluation, I think again we're coming back to technology is there. It's wonderful. Technology is allowing to work completely differently. But at the end of the day, it's coming back to the human beings using the technology. Voilà. I was hoping to have, but we had already a great discussion earlier on, change that you have experienced. I think we spoke about it. Change that you're going to implement. Hopefully, you will have some ideas after the discussion of today. Again, the survey is available on the MPI website, and there's a lot of information. I personally saved about 10 different documents that I read in the plane coming here. It's amazing. I mean, it's there. The information is there, so it's just a matter of taking the time, going to the website, downloading the information. Voilà, so thank you very much for attending this morning, and hopefully you can get something home.